Right. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses commanded, as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. For your word, Lord, is truth. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless today. Give us clarity of thought and let us truly uplift and magnify thy name through thy word. So we pray for thy guidance. We pray for thy mercy in Christ's name. Amen. This lesson today, primarily dealing with leprosy and the similarity it has towards sin itself, the comparisons of it. Luke 5 and verse 10, Jesus said unto Peter and Andrew, or he said, Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men, talking to Peter. Matthew 4:18-19, Jesus said unto Peter and Andrew, he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So when he was talking to them up here in verse 5, he wasn't talking to just Peter. He addressed Peter. Because Peter had fell down in front of him when he seen the great catch of fish done. And he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And that's in verse 10, he says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. But in Matthew, he was talking to Peter and Andrew. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And in every aspect, all the apostles were given at one time or another the command they was going to make you fishers of men. So that promise was not for Peter alone, but for all of the apostles. And it goes further than that. That promise made to all the faithful ministers of the gospel throughout the ages. When they preach the gospel, share Christ with a sinner, they become fishers of men. And I believe that it goes even further than that. For any of the Lord's people that shares the gospel and leads someone to Christ has become a fisher of men. So you see, that's the responsibility to all of God's people. He gave it specifically to Peter here when he was talking, I will make you fishers of men. But there's a lesson in this verse. Now, why did Jesus, I asked myself this question as I was looking this over. Why did Jesus use Peter as the example? Those 12 apostles there. Peter, in his character, and we're going to look at this, seems to show in some degrees contradictions. As you study that, he was just exemplifying man himself. Today we talk about man's depravity. When will we be completely eradicated of that? It'll be in the next life. As long as we're walking in the flesh, we're prone to do the sins of the flesh, even God's people. But let's look at a little bit of Peter's life here, the way he brought this in. And I'm using this as an introduction here to our lesson today. Look at Matthew chapter 26. verse 30 to 35. And when they had sung and hymned, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Who's he talking about there? His followers. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now look what Peter doing. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now that's a good statement. But Peter would always jump up and answer without stopping to think. Think about that. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, specifically, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, or three times. Look at verse 40 and 41 in this same chapter. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jump back over to the Gospel of John and look at chapter 18. verses 9, 10, and 11. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now where did this happen at? He was out there in the garden, been praying. Judas had betrayed him, and they had come up to arrest him. Verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father had given me, shall I not drink it? Okay, drop down to verse 25. So this is giving you the picture now, that couple of verses there of what's going on. Verse 25 here says, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? 27, Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. What did Jesus tell him he'd do? He'll deny me 3 times. Now, Peter had the best of intentions. He said, Lord, I don't care what happened. I'll fight to the death, but I'll never deny you. But then he'd do these things without really stopping to think. But after Peter went through several things, turn to Acts chapter 5, and this right here will give some more light. Verses 28 and 29. Well, the context here is they brought Peter in before the Jewish council. Let's go back and read verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and tend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So here this shows, and to my knowledge, Peter never waffled again after that, after his crucifixion. Now getting back to our lesson over here in Luke. Start verse 12. It says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This is right after now, when they had caught the big trout of fish. And Peter, even at that time, let's paraphrase this just a little bit and look at his attitude. Peter pictured the depravity of man. Now, he was an apostle that Christ chose him over and over for key, top, responsible positions. Now Peter would load his wagon. He was loading himself up one time, and Jesus told him, says, pointed his finger and says, get behind me, Satan. Peter would speak as a man before thinking about the responsibility he had to speak after the things of the Lord in his position as an apostle. He showed the nature of man, and today we are all guilty of this. Something come up and we will just pop out things, and later on we'd bite our tongue and wish we hadn't said it. But I believe he picked Peter because he was the most notable of all of the apostles to say things, then repent of them, go back and try to make it right. So with that in mind, verse 12, a man full of leprosy. Now here, this man's healing was a mighty miracle. Leprosy appears to be the most severe disease that can affect the body that's ever been known to man. It affects every part of the body at the same time. It brings sores, and it brings decay upon the flesh, the skin, and it causes corruption within the blood system, and it causes rottenness into the bones. They say the bones themselves will just rot from the inside out. It is a living death, which there is not a medicine known that can check it or to cure it. Doctors cannot cure it. Yet, but one touch from the hand of the Son of God, one single touch, and instantly the leprosy was gone. Both physically and spiritually, the leper was considered unclean. Think about that. When a person caught the leprosy and he didn't know if he had it or something else, he would go to the priest. And the priest would declare. He wouldn't go to the physical doctors. He would have to go to the priest, the spiritual man of God. And the priest, if it was undetermined, he would put him in lockdown, keep him separated from people for a week, and then he would go back and check him again. And if it was just a scab on his skin that looked and it hadn't spread, he'd pronounce him clean. But now if it had spread, he'd keep him another week and then determine. And if it was leprosy, he would be put outside the city. Because in a town, he was not allowed to come inside the town. Because it was so contagious, he'd have to be separated out, away from people. And even when the people that would take them their food or whatever, family members, they would have to set the food down and then back up and let them come get it. They wouldn't get within so many feet of them. So a leper was considered unclean both physically and spiritually. And I think according to Leviticus chapter 13, says he could not approach within 6 foot of any person. Now John Gill gave a description of it, and I eliminated about a page of it, the things that he went through describing it. But he says the eyes are red and inflamed. The ears are swollen and red and eaten with ulcers. The nose will be sunk in because of the cartilage has decayed around it and let the face cave in. The tongue will always, after you've had it a while, will be very dry, it'll turn black, and it'll be swollen and ulcerated. That don't happen at first, but it comes on. And the skin will be covered with ulcers as it progresses. The person loses his feelings in it. And at last, when it starts getting in its final stages, the nose, the fingers, and other body parts will be so decayed that they will literally just fall off. And the blood is so got so thick that when a body part falls off, when the fingers fall off, there won't be no bleeding from it. It's so decayed. But the thing that's most amazing of all of this was, it said the body's temperature would be so hot that for one of these people to hold a fresh apple in his hand for an hour, would cause that apple to be so dried and wrinkled it would look like it had been exposed to the full sun for a week. Now this man here that come to Jesus, verse 12 in our text, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. This man wasn't just diagnosed with it. The leprosy had already consumed him. He was full of leprosy. He come to Jesus, and just the touch of his hand, he says, "If thou wilt, Lord, you can heal me." And he says, "I will." And he touched him, and he was made well instantly. But let's look at the scripture, how it uses leprosy and sin in such a comparative way. And through this comparative way, I'm going to say that there's a great likeness between the disease, this disease, leprosy, and sin. I want to look at the comparison this morning. First of all, the person pronounced with leprosy is pronounced by the priest to be unclean, not a doctor. Think about that. And then he's put out of the city. Now the scriptures teach us that all mankind, by reason of sin, are by the Lord pronounced to be unclean. Same terminology. And by their evil actions, not only defile themselves, but they defile others. A leper don't have to be evil, but they've defiled themselves. If they touch you, they're going to defile you in the physical sense. But sin defiles a man. And the Lord has pronounced the sinner to be unclean, and their evil actions not only defile themselves, but they defile others. Turn to Isaiah 64, and let's read a verse. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Isaiah, here under the instructions of the Spirit of God, says, "But we are all as an unclean thing," making reference here to sin. So you will see the same thing was said about the lepers. "And all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Look, you hear the comparison between that and how leprosy defiles a man, and he's taken away by it. So our righteousness is as filthy rags. Okay. Thought for today. This is a thought that floated through my mind as I was studying this. When a sinner is made sensible, when is that? When he comes to know that he's a sinner and he has offended God. And when is a leper made sensible to his disease? When he's pronounced unclean. So how does this come about? Matthew 11:27 teaches us Christ reveals himself to the sinner. "No man knoweth the Father but Son. No man knows Son except he to whomsoever he reveals himself to." So Christ reveals himself to the sinner. And that's when the sinner is made sensible. Before that, he thinks, I'm okay. I've not done nothing too bad. If I'll just do right, the Lord's going to save me. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:21 tells us that Christ uses the Word of God to reveal himself to the sinner. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And when that sinner is made sensible, he's going to be saved. So when one is made sensible, he will freely own that his own righteousness is as filthy rags. He's going to see himself as the sinner that has offended God. He'll no longer be looking across church seats and, well, I know I'm better than that guy is because I know it. You don't compare yourself to nobody else when you see Christ. You'll see yourself as the sinner. Now, sin has spread itself all over mankind. It has penetrated all the powers and the faculties of the soul. That's the reason, like old Peter here. Read, I wanted to illustrate Peter. He would do these sinful things, and then when he would realize what he has done, he would repent of it. But sin has penetrated all the powers and the faculty of the soul and all the members of the body. So even Christian people that really got a heart for God and doing what's right, they want a day go by that something they will do, they will find sin in their lives that wasn't planned or even thought about until later they realized they had been sinning. There's no place that is free from it. As the leprosy, there is no part of the body that sin doesn't waste or consume and bring destruction upon mankind in both body and soul. So as the leprosy penetrates the body of man, sin penetrates the body of man. So as the man with leprosy was sent to the priest, which could not heal, the sinner is kept under the law, which will not save. Think about that. They both got to go to the goodness of the good Lord to get relief of it. Galatians 3, verse 23 and 24 tells us the law being our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So as the man that was full of leprosy fell on his face, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The doctors can't clean me. They didn't even go to the doctors for. But now verse 13 here says, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now this pictures what we are. Sin is the deadly sickness by which we are all infected. Our heart, our mind, and our will are all diseased up by sin. I'm going to read Isaiah 1:6. You got your finger on your place, are you? Find it. But Isaiah 1:6 says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. He's talking about the penetration of sin upon the body. to read that first chapter of Isaiah there and focus on that sixth verse there will give you a magnificent understanding of leprosy, even though that chapter is talking about sin. See, even from the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But now, any man that falls before Christ and he's truly repentant towards his sins, and he comes with faith and true repentance, Christ will surely say, I will. Lord, I'm undeserving of this. I'm a sinner. But I pray that you would forgive me. If that man comes with faith, knowing Christ can, and ask forgiveness, that man will be saved. Christ will surely say to any sinner that falls before him, believing as this leper here did, he will say, I will. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. But which is harder, to clean a leper or to clean a sinner? Both of them are penetrated through every aspect of their body. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And most profound verse in all the scriptures, verse 16, and we're seeing this constantly. And it came to pass, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now why? Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, being truly God, but yet man, needed to go into the wilderness and pray for fellowship with the Father. Now, he could answer prayers just like God would answer them. He could speak just like he lets it be done. Jesus did not have to go and ask God to heal this leper. He was God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. But he went aside constantly for fellowship with the Father. And there's not a Christian living that don't need this private fellowship to meditate, to think on the words of God, to pray for things that need to be prayed for. But the greatest thing is when you go into a private closet for yourself and your relationship with God, you will analyze yourself to see if you can find any sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. Christ didn't need that because he was perfect. He had no sin. But yet he went aside and set the example and meditated on the things of the day. And every Christian needs this, to set aside a time to study and to pray and to check his own heart to say, just like Peter. Where's these things that I come up short with? That is one of the most important things a Christian can do. Anybody got any questions? We covered a lot of territory, a few verses, and I hope this was beneficial. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for thy word, for thy word is truth. And we're thankful, Father, that you give us such a picture of the great love that Christ has for his people. Enable us to be faithful, to walk faithful, and to bring honor and glory to his name. For it's in the name of Christ we do pray. Amen.